Today being the last Sunday in the month of December 28th, 2025, we begin lesson number 5 in this series of lessons from the book of John. We've been studying the Gospel of John. And today, we've been talking about believing, what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to know Christ, not just in your head, but to know Him in your heart. That's the most important thing. 50 years ago this year, March 28, 1975, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. I was birthed into the family of God, and I became one of His dear children. And on December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 1978, I became obedient to His will for my life. I didn't want to do what He wanted me to do. I can tell you that right now. I didn't want to do it. But you know what? I'm thankful that I did it. I'm thankful that I answered God's call to preach. And God brought us here. And God is blessed. We've been 8 years now in this house where we're at. Can you believe that? 8 years this past week, we've been there. And God has been so faithful and good. But it's all because I came to know Him, first of all, as my own personal Savior. I gave Him my life. And you know what? God gave His best for me. And I want to give my best for Him. And that's what we're looking at today. I want to ask you this question. What are you hungering for today? Now, I've been on, I had a little upper respiratory issue again this past week. And they had me on some steroids and stuff. And man, I'm going to tell you what. Those things kept me hungry, and they kept me awake. I was up to 207 pounds the other day. I was 207 pounds. I thought, my soul, I'm going to have to work that off and get back down again. But you know what? I was hungering all the time. All the way down to North Carolina for 8 hours, I ate snacks. I ate hot tamales. I ate chips. We ate stuff all the way back. We ate beef jerky coming back. We ate some stuff my sister made for us, some kind of little oyster cracker things with all this stuff on it, and had that, and more chips, and more hot tamales. I've gone through 3 boxes of hot tamales driving up the road, and came back, and we stopped at Bucky's, and we ate the beef jerky there, got home, and Lisa said, "I am so tired." And I said, "I am too, but I'm going to eat before we sit down and go to sleep." So I ate her sandwich, my sandwich, and she only ate half of hers, so I ate the other half. I didn't want to waste it. You know, that's a lot of money. And so I ate that too and got up the next morning and drank a big old glass of chocolate milk and just, man, I was about to starve. But you know what? We get hungry after different things, don't we? We hunger after things. And you know what? For a lost person is hungering after something they do not know what they're hungering for. And I remember before I got saved, there was always a hungering in my heart for something, but it'd fill it up for a little bit, but it wouldn't satisfy. And only Jesus can satisfy, folks. Only the Lord Jesus can satisfy. And in our lesson today, I want us to see several things. First of all, I want us to see how John, the Apostle John, summarizes the ministry of John the Baptist. Now remember, in the book of John, we're looking at 2 Johns, okay? Don't get them mixed up. John the Baptist being the last Old Testament prophet, telling that a Savior, a Messiah is coming. He's coming. And then John the Beloved, John the Apostle, he gave us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John. He gave us the 3 epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. God used him to write down the words that Jesus spoke in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have all of these things. But I want us to see how John summarizes the ministry of John the Baptist. And then secondly, we're going to see how John summarized the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Samaritan woman. You remember the Samaritan woman, the story of her there at the well? We're going to look at that today in John chapter 4. And then thirdly, we're going to see John's account of the healing of a nobleman's son. What it means to put faith and trust in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, this old book right here is what we need to keep our faith and trust in. This Word of God will see us through this new year. It's gotten us through this year thus far, and it will see us through until He comes again or takes us home to be with Him. And I want you to hide the Word of God in your heart. Get in the Word and allow the Word of God to get into you and allow it to be a strength to you in this new year. I'm telling you, we're going to need it. We're going to need it. I do appreciate what President Trump has done as far as helping some of these Christians that were being persecuted over in Nigeria and some of these other countries. They've been put to death. Hundreds of thousands of Christians today are being put to death for what we take for granted so many times, is our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't think about the persecution. We don't think about it because God has blessed us so much here. But folks, listen, there are people today that are suffering for the cause of Christ because they've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at these things today, okay? And I want us to remember this fact. As we finish out this year, I want you to remember something the missionary once said, C.T. Studd said. He said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. We think, man, we get to live to be 87, 90, 100. I remember Brother Otto, he was 103 when he died. You know what? Lots of years. But you know what? That is nothing but, it's nothing in the light of eternity. And only one life God gives us to live for Him on this earth. And while we're living here on this earth, we need to do something for God that's going to last. We need to live for Him, serve Him. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. But only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus challenged those folks whom He met along life's way. He challenged them to live for Him, to serve Him. Not just believe in God, okay? We looked at this over in the book of James. James said the devils believe in God and they tremble. But folks, we know they're not going to be with God in heaven, are they? They were there on that day of the crucifixion. They were there. They saw everything that happened. They know what Jesus came to do for you and for me. They know what God wants to do with your life and with my life today. And they're going to try to do everything that they can do to stop you, to hinder you, to keep you from serving the Lord. Listen, don't get your eyes set on people. People will let you down. And I want you to remember something. Our pastor says this all the time. He says, the best of men are still only men at best. And you need to remember, don't keep your eyes on me. Man, I may fail you. You know, the other week when we had all the wind and everything else, I was trying to help her over to the car, and I came around the other side, and she had the door open, and she was trying to keep the door from blowing open and messing up the door. Well, the wind blew the door the other way, smashed her leg in the door and all this other stuff. She got a big old bruise. I did not put that there, okay? I did not do it this time. I didn't do that, okay? But listen, we don't know what's going to happen. Man, I thought if I just stayed over there and held that door, you know, she wouldn't have gotten hurt or anything like that. The best of men are still only men at best. And somewhere along the line, people are going to let you down. But you know what? I've got a Savior that has never let me down. And David said this in Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen His seed forsaken, nor His seed begging bread. And you know what? God is faithful. I want to challenge you today to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've put your faith and trust in Him as your Savior. You've depended upon Him to answer prayer, all right, for you. Laura got a good report back from her cancer scan, that biopsy. It's not cancer. It's benign, all right? Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. I praise God for that. And you know what? God has answered prayer. But we need to thank God for that. But I want us to look at this lesson today, the challenge to believe. First of all, I want us to look at the testimony of John the Baptist. The testimony of John the Baptist. We're going to be in John chapter number 3 here today. Beginning in John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. Here's what the Bible said. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. They came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. I want to say right there, praise God for that. Amen. That's what John was pointing them to. You remember when the people were following John? What did John do? He pointed to Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's your job. That's my job today, to point folks to Jesus. John the Baptist probably had a great following. And he could have had many, many people following after him and worshiping him and all this other stuff. But he knew his place and he knew the Savior. And everyone that he came in contact with, he pointed them to Jesus. Amen? That's what you and I are to do today. Now look at what he said here. The Bible said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And look at what he said. He must increase, but I must decrease. John said something here very astounding. And this is something that you and I need to think about today. He must increase, but we must decrease. You know what? When I get out of the way, then God can do some things. When you get out of the way, God can do some things. And God wanted to do some things with these people. As we look at these verses, we see the last recorded account of John the Baptist's testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at this and we understand these verses and what he's saying, it helps us to understand a couple other things. It helps us to understand that other accounts about John and the misconception that John lost his faith in Christ. John never lost his faith in Christ Jesus. John knew who the Savior was. He knew what Jesus had come to do. And even before he was beheaded, now nobody wants to die. Y'all remember that old song Dolly Parton used to sing, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die? All right, did y'all have that up here? It was big down south, I know that. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But you know what? Listen to me. In order to get to heaven, we have to die. You have to die. And in order to be what God wants us to be, we have to die to self. Self has to get out of the way. You know what? When we give of our time, our talents, our temple, anything that we do for the Lord, it needs to be done for His honor and for His glory. I think that's what Erica was trying to explain this morning in her testimony. She's telling about, listen, it's not our performance that brings the glory. It's the God that gives us the ability to do what we do for Him. That's who we need to give the glory to. We give Him the glory. And John wanted to point these folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible said here I want us to see the problem here in verses 22 through 26. And here we see that both John the Baptist and Jesus were baptizing folks in the region of Judea. We see that in verses 22 and 23. And in verse 24, we read this: "For John was not yet cast into prison." But then in verse 25, we read these words: "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." Now that word purifying there, that was that, it was talking about the Jewish mikveh, okay? The mikveh, where they cleansed themselves. It was a traditional cleansing, okay? To cleanse themselves and be ceremonial clean before the people and things like that. And God had commanded that whenever someone became ritually impure, he or she were to go to that mikveh bath in order to restore their status in the community. And you know what? They were looking at these things. They're thinking outward, outward, outward. And as we saw last week, even Nicodemus thought, you know, have I got to go back in my mother's womb to be born again? He's thinking the physical, the outward stuff. And Jesus was talking to him about the inward spiritual birth. You must be born of the flesh and of the spirit. Okay? Here, these people had a lot of questions about all these things. And there are lots of things here, and I don't have time to go into all this today, but there were lots of questions there. And John's disciples were upset because people now were following Jesus instead of following John. They were upset because John the Baptist had been there preaching and baptizing folks unto repentance. And now folks are following after Jesus, and he's having more folks follow him than they're following at the first church of John the Baptist, okay? And they were upset. And folks, listen, I think that is what we see in a lot of our so-called Christian world today. They want to follow after men. You know, you can't do things right unless you're in my group or my camp or this or that or whatever. Folks, stay in the book. Amen. Get in the Word of God. Just do what God said do. I know, folks, when we left North Carolina and we came up here, I had folks that sent me letters. I had folks that put stuff on Facebook that I was an apostate. And I was all kinds of bad things because I was now going to a church that didn't have the name Baptist in it. Okay? All right? And I got accused of all kinds of stuff. And you know, at first it hurt me. And I thought, how could they say stuff like that? And I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to go in the Bible and look and see. Let me find that one of the churches that was listed had the, you know, the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica or whatever. And you know what? I didn't find a single one in there. I didn't find a single one in there. And so you know what I told them? I said, well, you know what? I said, if you can find me one church in the Bible that's got Baptist in its name, then I said, then I'll tell you I'm sorry. But otherwise, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And you know what? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus today, folks. Look at what Jesus was doing. All men were going to come to him. Why? Because he was the Savior of the world. He's the one. John's disciples were upset with that. But you know what? John knew his place. And John realized that his job was to point folks to the Savior. And that's what your job is. It has been all of 2025. And guess what your job is going to be in 2026? It's to be the same way, to point folks to Jesus. I was going to give out some more gospel tracts the other day, and I took a whole stack on the road going down and coming back. And I used up every one of them. The only ones I had left were a couple Jewish tracts and two English tracts left. And I got to get some more this morning. But you know what, folks? You can give out gospel tracts. You can plant the seed wherever you go. Yesterday, we took my sister and brother-in-law up to horses. Now, Jeff is just a little fella. He's just, my sister doesn't feed him much. He's anorexic. Bless his heart. You pray for him, okay? You can tell by looking at him, he's just a starving thing. But we went up to horses yesterday. This is a once-in-a-year type treat, okay? We went up to horses because they got a buffet. And, buddy, that little buffet was bare when we finished up there yesterday. And you know what? He was hungering for something. He was hungry. And folks today are hungering for truth. They're hungering for something that's going to satisfy today. And you and I have what satisfies. And if we fail to give it to them, they're going to leave and they're going to look for something else. And you know what they'll do? They'll find something else. False religion. Cult stuff. Find anything that helps satisfy the longing in their heart for just a little while. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to look at verses 27 through 30. And here we see John's pronouncement. Look at verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." John knew that his job was to appoint men to Jesus. That was the ministry assigned to him by God. Can you imagine that? Oh, wait a minute. You and I have been assigned the same job, haven't we? Oh, man, that's what we've been assigned. Look at verse 28. John again stated, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." What was John to do? John was to tell folks, he's coming, he's coming, so that when Jesus came, people would say, he's here. And Jesus said, he told them there in the book of Luke, he told how that he was come to seek and to what? To save that which was lost. And that's exactly what he did. And then look at what he said in verse 30. He concluded his pronouncement again by saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And folks, I'm telling you something today. When you will allow God to see people through you, in you, and in everything that you do, you're going to be amazed what God is going to do with your life. Many people are looking for accolades and applause and all these things when all they need to see is Jesus in you. They need to see Jesus in you. Tuesday night when we were down in North Carolina, my daughter and her husband and our family went down to Gospel Light Baptist Church there in Walkertown. They have the National Sword Convention there. And that's where they're going to church. And our granddaughter had to introduce me to all of her teachers. And here's Pastor Joe, and here's Miss Such and Such, and here's this one. And man, they introduced me to all these. And I saw a man there that I worked with. Now, you got to remember, I worked at Industries for the Blind. I went there as a production control clerk in 1977. I left there in 1993 as vice president of operations. And I left that business to go into the ministry full time. And when I got in there, a man came up to me and said, "You're Brother Ray." I said, "Well, yeah. Wait a minute, I know you. You're Harvey." And he said, "Yeah, I'm Harvey." And he hugged me. And you know what? He was a salesman that I worked with in one of the companies I bought stuff with when I was in the purchasing end of it for the government. And I bought stuff from his company. And he's been going there. He said, "You don't know how many years I've been praying for you." He said, "When you left there at that company," he said, "I didn't know what God was going to do with you." And he said, "I heard that you'd moved." And he said, "I wasn't sure exactly where you moved to. But," he said, "I want you to know you're still on my prayer list." I left there in 1993. We had another couple come up to us and said, "Brother Ray, is that you?" He said, "What happened to your hair?" I said, "Mine turned gray. What happened to yours?" "It turned loose." It was gone. But you know what? We had some great time. But you know what? I thought all those years, somebody's been praying for me. Why? Because they saw Christ in me. Man, that's what I want in my life. John wanted to decrease so that folks could see Christ in him. And as we come into this new year of prayer and blessing, we need to pray that God will allow us to decrease so that he might increase. I made this design for my wife on her business thing. She's doing these journals. And I put this on here. And I gave this to a lot of our family. And I called it my Journal of Prayer and Blessings. And I put this Bible scripture passage on there from 1 Samuel chapter number 12, beginning of verse number 23, where Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Now that's the front of the journals. You can purchase them at 381creations.com, all right? I'm just kidding you. But I got to thinking about that for this new year and the goal in my life. And I want this year to be a year of prayer and blessing. I want to be willing to pray for you more. I want to be able to lift you up in prayer that God will use you and strengthen you and encourage you. Because I'm telling you, folks, I think this new year is going to be a tough year for folks that know Christ as their Savior. There are going to be some things that are going to come to pass this year that we never thought we're going to have to go through. And we need to pray. And we need to seek God's blessing in all that we do. We need to decrease so that he can increase. Then as we get to John chapter number 4, I don't have time to read all of these verses. My goodness, there are 42 verses here in John chapter 4. Well, there's actually 54, but we're going to just look at the first 42 in this section with the Samaritan woman. But here we see Jesus' departure from Judea. The Bible said in verses 1 through 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. You know why that verse is there? To show us that Jesus knew he had a divine appointment. You know what the divine appointment is? It's something that God sets before us. Now, we may not like it when the car breaks down. You have the flat tire. You have the problems. You have an issue at home. You have a health problem situation. All these things come up. And we think it's a bad thing. But God uses it as a good thing for us to be able to present the message of the gospel to somebody. Jesus knew that there was one woman. And you know what this shows me? The Bible said in John chapter 3, and we look at this all the time, for God so loved the world, but the world is made up of individuals. And every individual needs Jesus. And there was a woman coming to the well that day that had nobody to care for her soul. And Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria because I've got a divine appointment. And I'm going to show that woman that there's somebody there that cares for her, that loves her, truly loves her. And we see that in this passage. In verses 5 through 26, we see all the dialogue between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. Jesus asks for some water in verse number 7. Verse number 9, we see the woman responding with the question, well, how is it then that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They hated one another, folks. They didn't want to have anything to do with one another. They looked down on one another. Verse 10, we see Jesus reply, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Buddy, that's what he gave me the day I got saved. Amen. He put that old cup that was looking for something underneath a fountain that never runs dry. Amen. And man, he just fills that cup continually. And when you put the cup under the fountain, the saucer gets blessed. And man, the whole world gets blessed pretty soon. Look what he said in verse 11. The Bible said, here we see the woman's curiosity about this living water. And in verse number 11, the Bible said, that woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Man, where's that living water going to come from? Lord, where can I find that which satisfies more than anything else the world can give unto me? Look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus described this living water as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. To which the woman immediately replies, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Give me something, Lord, that will give me satisfaction, that will satisfy the longing in my hungry soul. Fill me, Lord. And you know, it's interesting to note here that Jesus doesn't reply to her request at that moment, but rather he says to her in verse number 16, he said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Go get your husband, bring him too. And she said, "What? I have no husband." And in verse 17, 18, Jesus commends her honesty. And he says to her, he said, "Thou hast answered well. You've said well. I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now livest with, or hast, is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." And then look at this. In verse 19, we see that woman's confession. This is the turning point of this particular conversation. Why? Well, because it made that woman realize that Jesus was more than just a man. He was a prophet. Oh, he was more than a prophet. And you know what? It caused that woman to see Jesus as no ordinary man. As we finish out this year, we start into the next year, let me ask you, how are you seeing Jesus today? Are you seeing him as just some little babe in a manger that you pack up and put in the attic again until next year? Or are you seeing him as some magic genie? "Lord, I need this today. Oh, I'm going to have this. Please give it to me. Please give it to me." And you see him as some little magic genie? Or do you see him as the Savior who has promised to supply your every need if we will decrease and allow him to increase in our lives? Man, this woman saw Jesus in a new way. And in verse number 20, we see the controversy. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you more about that, all right? Man, I'll start right there. I can't get this done today. Man, you got to come back next week. What a Savior. But the challenge is to believe, to trust Him, and obey. As we finish out this year, I put the song on the back of the flyer, the bulletin this week. "More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show." That's how we need to end this year, and that's how we begin the new year. Amen? Amen. Let's do it today. Father, I love you. Lord, I sure do thank you, God, for all your goodness to me through the years. Lord, how you brought me here. You've given me a job to do for you, and that's to teach the Word of God, to preach it, and to share it with everybody I come in contact with. And Lord, I thank you, God, for that. Help me, Lord, that I might decrease. And Lord, that you might increase. Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do. We look forward to the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here for this last Sunday in the new year, in the old year.